The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments. We get these from Christ. He taught us that. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Now, I know that's almost impossible to get along with everybody. I try my best to get along with everybody here at Bethel Church. But I know sometimes things happen. Things, you know, get miscommunicated and misunderstood. But it's okay. As long as we are striving to get along with everyone, as long as we are trying to take the initiative to restore relationships, to have good fellowship, to have good relations with the people, that's all that God asks us. We're not responsible to other people's responses. We are to be the peacemakers in relationships. I want to share with you an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? It's the first letter of a word, each letter of a word, and then there's a definition after each of the letters. I'm going to take the word harmony, and most of these scriptures come from the book of James, actually, but I've included some others. I want to take the word harmony, and I want to break it down, H-A-R-M-O-N-Y, and try to help us understand how we can be in harmony with others. That is, to love our neighbor. Let's have the first one, H. H in harmony stands for humble, humility. Humble yourselves. James says in chapter 4, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Humility. We are called to be humble as Christ was humble. There's so much bragging and boasting and that kind of stuff going on in the world. We forget that God's people are called to have a humble spirit. Not to be doormats, not to let people walk all over us, but to have a humble spirit. Sure, there's times to be bold, there's times to stand up for different things, but I'm just talking about a general demeanor of humility. It is a Christ-like characteristic. Okay. A. What does A stand for? A stands for act. Act. James says in chapter 1, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Bottom line, we are to be doers. We are to be actors. We are to act upon the word of God that God has shown us. To be doers of the word. To put our faith in action. Act. Act upon what we have learned and what we have known. Okay. R. What does the R stand for? R stands for reconcile. We are called to be reconcilers in unharmonious or broken relationships. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, you know what therefore means, considering everything that's been said before, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has given us his reconciliation through what? Through what Christ did for us on the cross. Our sins have been reconciled. We have been set straight, justified with God through Christ. And now we are called to be reconcilers in our relationships. Go and reconcile with that person you had a fight with last week. Go and reconcile with your spouse. Go and reconcile with your children. Be reconcilers in the world. M, mercy. James says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. mercy triumphs over judgment. Be forgivers, in other words. We are to show mercy because we have been shown mercy as God's people. Mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. Mercy in what God has given us. I love the passage from Micah, that little teeny book right at sort of towards the end of the Old Testament, the prophet Micah, who says, "O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? Act justly," to love justice, in other words, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You want to know what God requires of you? There it is, right there. To love justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly. Own your tongue. I know that sounds kind of funny. Own your tongue. What do we mean by that? Watch your tongue. Watch what you say. The book of James, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Isn't it amazing that we use this same tongue to bless and to curse, to build up and to tear down people? Yes, our words can be hurtful. Our words can tear someone apart. The tongue is like a double-edged sword that cuts both ways. Own your tongue. Watch your tongue. Hold your tongue. N, never hold a grudge. Never hold a grudge. Ever held a grudge against someone, or has anyone ever held a grudge against you? You know what that feels like, don't you? James says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged." The judge is standing at the door. We are called not to hold grudges against people, no matter how harsh they have treated us, no matter how badly we have been treated, because we are God's people, and we're different. Finally, why? Yield. Yield to others. We see the yield signs all over town, don't we? When we pull out on the expressway, we pull out on King's Highway, we pull out on Route 1, there's that big red and white, it used to be yellow, yield signs. And I think about that every time I see a yield sign. Am I yielding my life to God? Am I yielding my spirit to God's spirit? Am I yielding my will to God's? James writes again in chapters 1 and chapter 2, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and be fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" Yielding ourself to others. Yielding our resources to the needs of others. Yielding our energies and our prayers and our good works to others so that others may benefit. Yielding. We all can do a lot more yielding. Okay. The final question. How can I live in harmony with creation? God's design for creation was to interconnect and interweave everything in creation that was created. Humans, animals, birds, the waters, the sea, the air, we're all connected because we all need this planet in order to exist. We can't desecrate nature without affecting others. Pollution, abuse of our rainforests, abuse of resources, all these things have either a direct or indirect effect on all humanity to one degree or another. The whole earth is groaning and moaning under the strain of this broken relationship with the Father. Paul writes about it in Romans 8:20, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into its glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." the important thing I want to stress today is that implementing good stewardship practices is essential as people of God. It's why I do these messages every year. And we are working towards the healing of our planet, not just our personal relationships, but the healing of the world. How can we be in harmony with nature? Well, there are several suggestions. Developing a fondness and an affinity for the great outdoors. I've got some pictures here of some different things. Taking a walk through the woods. Just enjoying nature. Enjoying the fauna and the ferns and just enjoying the seashore, the sunrises and the sunsets, getting outside, walking through the woods, on the beach, in the fields, noticing the natural beauty that is there, paying attention to the beauty of nature and our parks. Oh, I'll get to that in a minute. Paying attention to the beauty of our state parks, this beautiful Cape and Lopen State Park we have, and all the state parks around us, and the beauty of the area. Starting a garden. Now, this is my pitiful little vegetable garden. I got a few broccoli plants, 3 tomato plants, and 3 pepper plants, and I'm hoping that'll be all that we need to get through the summer. Pat and I enjoying some fresh vegetables. Plant a garden. Plant some herbs. You know, herbs you can plant in pots. They do great in pots out on the deck or in the back porch or whatnot. Do something to grow something, creating habitat in your backyards. You might be saying, how can I do all of this? Remember that God is with us, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that God has given us the wisdom, He has given us the strength and the means to be in harmony with Him, to be in harmony with one another, to be in harmony with our creation, His creation. We were made for relationship with God. We were created in God's image, which means that we have been given God's DNA. God's DNA is in us. And as created in the image of God means that we have the potential. We have the potential to do the right things and do the works of Jesus, to love and to care for one another and our world. The bottom line here is that we have to trust God. We have to put our full trust and faith in God, to let God work through our hands and our feet. God has no hands but ours, you know. God has no feet but ours. God's counting on us as we count on God. Let yourself be a willing vessel, a channel of God's love to spread love and harmony throughout the world. And then rejoice and be glad as you consider the transformation that the transformation of the world that Jesus is doing in you and through you. That's what this message is about, is being willing vessels for the transformation of our world, beginning right here with ourselves. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your message. Thank you for reminding us that we are called to care for one another, to care for the beautiful creation that you've given us, and to care for ourselves. And dear God, I just pray that something has been said here today that will help us on our journey to be better stewards of all that you have blessed us with. Send us forth now, O God, with that blessing, that we can be change agents for the better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you all stand now for our closing song?